Guten Morgen, Freiheitskampf. I can't really say that the world has lost their mind since I left because the world lost its mind before I left. Left for what, you say? Well, I had to take a little breaky break. You know what I'm saying? Work kicked up. My skin was falling off of me. I have necrosis. My nutsack, it's fucking wild. I don't know what the fuck is happening. But during this breaky break, I found my new piece of motivation. As you guys know, COVID and I have a very special relationship with each other. So I love this. I love this. And I'm surprised none of my favorite podcasters did anything like this, but here I am.
Now Daddy has super duper bandages just like Elmo.
You were super duper today, getting your COVID vaccine, Elmo.
Yeah, there was a little pinch, but it was okay. Elmo was really glad to have Daddy and Baby David there with him. Baby David, where are you?
I had a lot of questions about Elmo getting the COVID vaccine. Was it safe? Was it the right decision? I talked to our pediatrician so I could make the right choice. I learned that Elmo getting vaccinated is the best way to keep himself, our friends, neighbors, and everyone else healthy and enjoying the things they love.
Oh, Daddy! Oh, Elmo and Baby David have a question. Oh. Can we have a hug?
Oh, come here, son.
Elmo loves you, Daddy.
I love you, too.
It's okay to have questions about COVID vaccines for your kids. Get the latest facts by speaking to your pediatrician or healthcare provider.
What on God's green earth type of psychotic, twisted, torn to shreds psyche bullshit is that? You can't give any more ammo to conspiracy theorists with shit like that. You can't. You're literally boxing up 50 caliber rounds and just handing conspiracy theorists just all of this ridiculous ammo. What the fuck is that? I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. Sometimes I actually question my sanity. Like, maybe I'm the one losing my fucking mind and it's not them. Maybe it's me. It's gotta be me. I mean, in only a post-apocalyptic world would it be me. And that's kind of like how I see the world as is today. Oh no, none of that. Anyway, that is my new piece of motivation. That's just fucking wild. Oh, right. So, I already kind of view the world as post-apocalyptic because if you can see the world without human intervention, you would see that this is a post-apocalyptic world. If your world had no roads or buildings, and if your world didn't have the complex social structures it does today, that world has ended, making it post-apocalypse of a different world, a different era, you know, like the Victorian era. You know, it's apocalypse to that because that era ended for the most part. We dropped the values but kept the weed. Speaking of, I need to light this shit up here real quick. I don't know. And why is it such a big deal that people overshare? Are you afraid of words, my friend? Does conversation harm you? I'm an expressive person, and I like to open up to people. And if that's too much for you, you might as well just about face and get the fuck out of here. Because I ain't got time for the bullshit. Either. You ain't got time for my oversharing. I ain't got time for your intolerance. So fuck you. All right? If you're a person that overshares, quote unquote, and people are making you feel weird because you overshare, fuck them. Now send them another message. Send them another paragraph. It's not your fault that words scare people. Fucking pussies. Anyway. Moving on from that. Let's see. On to my first article. Yay. Vaccine response. Vaccine response to COVID-19 was pre-planned. Authors of new book, The Courage to Face COVID-19. I wonder who those people are. It's not cardiologist and epidemiologist Dr. Peter McCullough and John Leake, co-authors of The Courage to Face COVID-19, Preventing Hospitalization and Death While Battling the Biopharmaceutical Complex. Let's see, during the research for their book, quote, The Courage to Face COVID-19, cardiologist Dr. Peter McCullough and author John Leake discovered that the quote-unquote system was primed by global leaders to make vaccination the principal response to the COVID-19 pandemic. I mean, see, it's this article that we're going to dive into a little bit of conspiracy theory here, because not entirely sold on this. That doesn't mean I can't get sold. But let's continue. Quote, this was absolutely telegraphed from the beginning, unquote, McCullough said. And I'm usually inclined to believe what Peter McCullough says. So if I don't, I usually give him the benefit of the doubt. In 2010, Gates said, it's the decade of the vaccines. Later on, Gates announces at meetings that the return on the ROI of vaccines is 20 to 1. The ROI on vaccines. See, and that's where it is right there. That's where it is. Your health is a commodity. It's a value. It's been measured monetarily. Your life, how much you're worth, is all measured. Let's see. Quote, it is clear the system is juiced for vaccine, unquote, McCullough said during a recent interview. McCullough was referring to a 2010 post by Bill Gates on Twitter in which the billionaire investor wrote, decades of vaccines, a $10 billion 10-year pledge for vaccine research, development, and delivery. I actually, see, that's true. That's real. I saw that when I was researching Novavax. Bill Gates. I don't know. I think gave money to them at some point within the last 10 years or some. I don't know. I forget exactly. Yeah, but there's a Novavax Global Newswire article detailing how much Bill Gates gave them for some vaccine for something. I forget exactly what, but whatever. Let's see. In 2019, Gates told CNBC's Becky Quick on Squawk Box from the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, quote, we feel there's been a 20-to-1 return on his $10 billion investment into vaccine development. In the interview with McCullough, Lee questioned why the COVID vaccines, which were developed hastily, were advertised as safe and touted as the only solution to the pandemic, while effective alternative and off-label treatments were demonized. Quote, what we discovered in our research and what we map out in our book is that this was being planned for well in advance, Lee said. He also criticized Gates for his obsession with vaccines. Quote, Gates seems to have sort of shifted his monopolistic spirit from the software business to the vaccine business, said Leake. Gates is also the founder and major contributing member of the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness and Innovation, CEPI, which was launched at the World Economic Forum in 2017. Anything coming out of that cesspool is just subject to heavy scrutiny. In the organization's business plan, it appears to be entirely focused on the development of vaccines, with no mention of other treatments for viral outbreaks, said McCullough. Seppi says it brings together heads of government, private businesses, and philanthropists to accelerate the development of vaccines to prevent future epidemics and pandemics, and to ensure that all people in need have access to these vaccines. Moreover, one of Gates' most recent efforts in the proliferation of vaccines in his book, How to Prevent the Next Pandemic, in the book, Gates makes the case for establishing a well-funded global organization that would be managed by the United Nations World Health Organization, whose job it would be to search for and respond to the world's next pandemic, said McCullough. And I feel like I did a podcast and I read almost something similar to that, but he said that the next pandemic could possibly be climate change. The Epoch Times reached out to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation for comment. The fuck? Yeah, right. Imagine that. McCullough said that although vaccines generally do little to prevent illness from upper respiratory infections, they were still pushed as the answer to the COVID-19 pandemic. Quote, there isn't a single shot in the arm that does virtually anything for any respiratory illness, unquote, McCullough said. Adding that the COVID vaccines were introduced, quote, with an implicit talking point, and the talking point is they are safe and effective. Oh, here it is. Safe and effective. And you will take them, period. No discussions after that. No official discussions on safety and efficacy. No guarantee for reevaluation. No monthly review of safety. Unquote. The safety was just assumed even after a Chinese scientific paper was published, pointing out that there were major health problems from the vaccine for people with underlying health issues, said McCullough. McCullough called this broad use of vaccines a biological catastrophe. Furthermore, the U.S. FDA tried to bury information about the vaccine's safety and efficacy by sealing for 55 years the Pfizer dossier, which is about a 500,000 pages of documents detailing the key findings in the development and implementation of the vaccines, said McCullough. So that was actually sealed? I mean, I don't... Who the fuck knows? Like, there's so much shit going on all the fucking time that you can't possibly keep up. You just can't. I gotta keep this joint lit, though. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is cushion coffee, baby. So if everybody at Pfizer was smoking weed and drinking coffee at the same time the COVID-19 pandemic broke, do you think the response would be the same? Let me not butcher that question. If the entire world was smoking weed and drinking coffee at the same time relative to their health, do you think the response would be the same? No, I don't think so. The organization Public Health and Medical Professionals for Transparency sued the FDA under the Freedom of Information Act and demanded the dossier be made public. In his ruling, U.S. District Judge Mark Pittman said the group's FOIA request was of paramount public importance and ordered that the FDA release 55,000 pages per month. From these documents, we learn there are 1,223 deaths within 90 days of the release of the Pfizer program worldwide. The standard is typically 50 deaths for some widely used product, and it's taken off the market, said McCullough. The CDC records deaths on its vaccine adverse events recording system. In the United States, McCullough said there have been 13,000 recorded deaths after receiving the COVID vaccine. That is astounding, he said. We have never let a product run like this for this period of time without revisiting safety, without reporting safety, without even questioning safety, and death being the final outcome, unquote. McCullough said there has also been a slew of non-fatal but serious side effects from the three major vaccines, including heart damage, blood clots, and inflammatory disease. The Epoch Times reached out to Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson for comment on vaccine safety. I'm sure you and the rest of the fucking world, my friend. Quote, what I think a lot of the public didn't understand is this is a completely novel technology, unquote, said Leak. Quote, these are genetic transfer technologies. You're actually injecting messenger RNA that codes for the production of the spike protein. So this is very Star Trek-y stuff. McCullough said it's a false claim that vaccines reduce hospitalization and death. He said there have been no thorough randomized trials with the active drug and placebo to show a reduction in hospitalization and death. Quote, none of the vaccines have had clinical trials done versus placebo with that composite endpoint, said McCullough. What's happening over time is a false narrative that's developed over observational data. There have been many, quote, biased analysis by investigators and doctors and those in biopharmaceutical complex who are invested in trying to promote the vaccines, said McCullough. He added that the analysis are based on faulty and biased data, which does not keep track of vaccinated individuals who come into a hospital. Instead, all who come into the hospital with a COVID infection are counted as unvaccinated by default. What the fuck? Oh, man. Anyway, quote, I can tell you those who've taken the vaccine are much more likely to have gotten early treatment, which really is the driver for reducing hospitalization and death, said McCullough. Now, let's just visit that for a second in my mind, right? So let's just rewind. I can tell you those who have taken the vaccine are much more likely to have gotten early treatment, which really is the driver for reducing hospitalization and death. I don't see it, and it's things like that that you don't want to think about. You don't want to think about people being refused medical care because of their vaccination status. You don't want to think about that. But I wonder how many tens of thousands, maybe millions of people were refused medical service because of their vaccination status. That's a little rough, isn't it? That's a little Roman and Greek, isn't it? Like, they had a lot of shit figured out that we still use today, and we haven't expanded on that, so we might as well just shut our fucking mouths, right? Wrong. Leak said those same rigor and safety standards that were applied to early treatment for COVID are completely ignored with the new messenger RNA vaccines. Quote, suddenly the methodology and the rigor of ascertaining safety and efficacy is just thrown out the window with the vaccine, unquote, he said. McCullough said the pandemic could have ended quickly if resources had been put into giving high-risk patients early treatments and hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, but instead these early treatments were maligned. McCullough also brought up monoclonal antibodies, another safe and effective treatment that's been throttled in favor of vaccines. Can we find a new fucking term that's not safe and effective, please? Can we do something like that? It's going to be on all of our goddamn gravestones. It's just too much. Despite the fact that these early treatments work well, they are pulled off the shelf, but the vaccines, which are not proven to be either safe or effective, are pushed on the public as the solution for the pandemic, said McCullough. Leak and McCullough described what they observed and documented as a monolithic vaccine solution for all public health problems. Quote, this is what these international foundations are, the Gates Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, and the Wellcome Trust. The big money guys have put all their money on vaccines, said Leak. Their book documents how other national institutions like the NIH profit from these vaccines and from a relationship with wealthy philanthropists. Philanthropists. I fucking hate that word. Quote, they actually had a meeting at Bill Gates' grand house near Seattle back in 2000. For 20 years, they've been working together, said leak. There is a vaccine agenda in which the powers that be want every person to keep getting vaccinated indefinitely, McCullough said. They have advanced in forward, and there is at the same time an oblivion to safety, and it's global, said McCullough. McCullough and Leak said that they'd like to see all vaccine mandates lifted and all COVID-19 vaccines pulled off the shelves for a thorough safety and efficacy review. We have been burned, McCullough said. This has been, in a sense, the crime of our lifetime, if not of all time, of mass vaccination of the world in the middle of a highly prevalent and evolving pandemic. And there it is, right at the end. You don't vaccinate in the middle of a pandemic. I knew that. See, COVID and I will. I don't give a fuck if I have no credentials. COVID and I have such a very special relationship that I will speak on COVID until my dying days. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. So I just want to remind everybody something that they didn't say. When SARS-CoV-1 came out, it had went from pandemic to endemic, and we had no fucking idea. We had no idea. There are thousands of other novel or new or whatever coronaviruses that have been introduced to our population in the last 100 years. Right? That didn't do what COVID did, right? See, I see this a lot in pest control. The human will run out and be like, oh my God, there are bugs all over my house. I'm being attacked. I'm being bitten. I'm being eaten. I'll walk inside and there's ants all over the counter. You know what I'm saying? It's very similar. It's very similar in nature. So the ants were just chilling, doing their thing, and it's the human that made this huge deal and made it seem like the bugs were eating her and all this other crazy shit. So it's not what the world is doing around us, because the world and nature, the environment, whatever is going to happen is going to happen. You can't just say the world is burning down around you because of it. And there's in fucking reality, it's just like we're just chilling. It's just like a fucking a URI, upper respiratory infection. Like, what the fuck, man? I was talking to this producer guy that evaluated. I asked, well, he kind of offered to evaluate my podcast for production value. He didn't really give me a straight answer, so I'm just gonna go ahead and say that that's a good thing, that there is massive production value in me and my podcast. I agree, my friend. Thank you so much. A study the CDC cited in arguing for COVID-19 vaccines for babies being updated. Don't you love how they just update shit, change shit whenever the fuck they want? But let's just see what they're talking about, right? Oh, wait a second here. Let's take some. I need to stroke my trope. I need to suck my gimmick. Some cushion coffee, right? It's not a gimmick if it's real, though, right? I really do this. I really be smoking kush and drinking coffee. I really be out here. I'm not going to talk like that anymore. I don't know where that came from. All right. Where are we at here? Oh, the CDC just changing the world around them. A non-peer-reviewed study that U.S. government scientists cited in asserting COVID-19 is a leading cause for death for children is being updated after inaccuracies were detected. Huh. The preprint paper published in May says that the COVID-19 has been the fifth leading cause of death during the pandemic for children aged 1 to 5. The authors, primarily British scientists, also concluded that COVID-19 has been a top cause for death of all children. You know what you also don't want to think about? You don't want to think about things like there was probably a number of people hoping and praying that children would die from COVID so that they can push their agenda. Numbers. That's what we are to some people. Numbers. Quote, "Our findings underscore the importance for continued vaccination campaigns for children in the United States and for effective COVID-19 vaccines for under 5-year-olds, they wrote. They being the CDC, I'm guessing. But the paper has flaws. A Seth Flaxman, that's my man's dough, a professor in Oxford University's Department of Computer Science and one of the authors, acknowledged on Twitter on June 19th. Quote, "We have received some feedback and criticism along several dimensions. We are planning to update the preprint to take it into account some of this feedback," he said. The study was cited in 3 separate presentations across 2 meetings during this week of June 12th as government officials and expert advisors weighed whether to authorize and recommend vaccines for young children. Of course they were gonna, and they did, obviously. I'm pretty sure that this came out after. I don't know. Dr. Catherine Fleming Dutra, a CDC official, twice cited the study while presenting data on how COVID-19 has affected children while speaking to government advisory panels. Quote, "COVID-19 was a leading cause of death among children and adolescents during the pandemic. Previously, we showed data to ACIP that during 2020, COVID-19 was the 11th cause of death among children ages 5 through 11 years old. But this has changed over the course of the pandemic, and looking at the data through April 2022, the COVID-19 now ranks as the 4th and 5th causes of death among children 0 through 19. Fleming Dutra said on June 17th while speaking to the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. Like, is that not illegal? Should that not be illegal? Is it me? Tell me if it's me. Please, someone phone in, email me, cushioncoffee.podcast@gmail.com. You can join my patreon.com/Anthony_Hess. You can do that. And you can message me there. Trying to explain some of this shit to me and how or why it's not fucking illegal to do this. To just go up there and lie, to just go up there and be like, say whatever the fuck you want to say. And because you're whoever the fuck you are representing, whatever the fuck you're representing, everyone's like, ooh, ah, I don't even think it's who you are and what you're, well, it is, of course, because that has a dollar amount behind it. If you are representing a multi-billion dollar industry and a multi-billion dollar company, multi-trillion dollar industry at this point, multi-billion dollar companies, and like, they're all gonna be like, ooh, ah, whatever you want, whatever you want. Dr. Matthew Daly, who chairs the CDC panel's COVID-19 vaccines work group, also cited the study during the meeting, and Dr. Sarah Oliver, a CDC official, cited it multiple times the following day, indicating that COVID-19 was such a major cause of death among children had an impact on experts. The statistics were showing that this is not a minor illness in children, Dr. Catherine Poling said, one of the panelists. The slides and numbers were also disseminated widely on social media by influential people in the medical field, including Dr. Nirav Shah, director of the Maine CDC. Quote, "Here's the bottom line. Hashtag COVID-19 is a leading cause of death among children 1 to 4 years of age," Shah wrote in one post. "We can now rewrite the table because of the vaccine." Should this person not be, I don't know, dragged out of their fucking house and arrested? For just lying. They just lie. It's just a natural response. They just feel so protected. And that's the thing. Have you ever felt unprotected? Maybe like, I don't know, the first time you moved out of your house, or like you got thrown out of your house when you were a kid, or like whatever the fuck in case may be, your parents were evil and they threw you out, or they weren't evil and they died in a car crash, whatever the fuck happened. What did happen was you felt unprotected, that feeling of like, fuck, man, I'm fucked. I gotta go to work. Like, I need to work for myself. I need to build a living, and I need to not be homeless, right? That's a feeling of unprotected, right? But if you're acting like an asshole and you know no one's going to throw you out, and you know that, you know, you're not going to freeze and you're not going to starve, feel protected, and you'll start to do shit that, you know, it's just non-conducive for actual healing. It's non-conducive for actual growth and understanding. This is why I push for absolute self-discipline. And introspection. Introspection is a good one. That's another good one, because, like, I really, really want to be funny. But I really don't think that I'm funny. I mean, I'm witty, I guess. I'm halfway intelligent. I'm decently perceptive. I'm not funny. I'm just not. I mean, I'm a creative person, so I can actually see comedic bits in situations. I just don't know how to extract it. Maybe I could practice it and then do it that way. I don't know, who the fuck knows, but my job isn't to come here and make you laugh, I guess. My job is to come here and inform you, I suppose. Right? So, but it's, and that's another one, introspection. You need it. If you don't do it, you're going to fuck yourself. You're just going to fuck yourself. You're going to get yourself in a situation and it's going to dig at you. It's going to eat you. It's going to eat you alive. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to fall. You're going to fall and hit the fucking floor hard as shit. And what's the next step? Well, it's to get the fuck up. That's the next step. So maybe I'm just here right now to inform you on what to do. What to do? No, I don't think so. Maybe what to listen to or what to look for. There it is. What to watch for. I am your guardian, your podcasting guardian. Vetting the information for you. Anyway, let's move on. Shut the fuck up. And so we can now rewrite the table because of that thing. But the statistics weren't accurate. According to emails reviewed by the Epoch Times, the misinformation came from Flaxman and his co-authors not being aware of how COVID-19 deaths are listed in the United States. Incompetence. See, it all starts from incompetence. And that's why it's such a smooth transition and there's no conspiracies behind it, because follow me here. It starts with people being fucking retarded and then everyone else just like, well, we profited off of your dumbass mistake, so I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to be chilling, and we live in a self-governing society, and you need to figure out your own way, right? And that's the way. Right? Yeah. That's where that fucking shit comes from. That's why you wake up one morning and it's already happening. It's because it's born through incompetence. And it's inherently evil to not do anything about it, to not correct them, even if it hurts your bottom line. Following me here? Great. The CDC's National Center for Health Statistics, the source for the paper, separates deaths with COVID-19 as the underlying cause from deaths as a contributing but not the cause. That hurt my fucking brain. The paper said that only deaths where COVID-19 was, quote, the underlying cause of death, unquote, were counted. But the authors listed 1,433 deaths among those aged 0 to 19. There were actually just 1,088 deaths, according to an Epoch Times review of the data in a CDC database called WONDA. Wonder. W-O-N-D-E-R. It's in all caps. According to the emails, Flaxman did not know that Wonder had data for 2021 and 2022. The study will be updated, quote, primarily by focusing on COVID as an underlying cause of death using CDC Wonder provisional mortality statistics, Flaxman said on Twitter. Flaxman did not respond to a query, and the preprint website includes no indication that an update is pending. Fleming, Dutra, Daly, and the CDC did not respond to requests for comment. Oliver could not be reached. The FDA on June 17th authorized the Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines for children as young as 6 months old, and the CDC the following day recommended the vaccines for virtually all toddlers and babies. Even if the data were correct, the slides used the cumulative death toll against a single year count for other causes of death. The numbers for non-COVID causes such as assaults, heart disease, and were taken from 2019 Wonder. The Wonder that statistics program, whatever it is. Kelly Cronert, a Georgia resident who detected the issues and alerted Flaxman, said that she was appalled that the CDC would use a preprint paper without vetting it, and the cumulative data was used against an annual number for other causes. Quote, the preprint includes both cumulative and annualized rankings for COVID, but the CDC chose the more inflammatory of the two rankings. I can only wonder why. These were very obvious errors with the preprint that even a cursory review should have identified. It was simple to check their sources and recreate their work to see the flaws. Kroner, who has identified other major problems with data in the past, told the Epoch Times in an email. I absolutely think the CDC should issue a correction, but I don't expect they will, she said. Yeah, I doubt it as well. I don't know. There's a lot to it. You know, there's a lot to it. And that was a month ago. Who the fuck knows what's happened in the last 30 days? Cause it's not my ass. You see, when you take an introspection break, I guess, whatever you want to fucking call it, hiatus. I personally, specifically, have to detach myself from things like social media, the news, in order to heal, because this stuff actually hurts me. It hurts my feelings. It emotionally upsets me, because the crimes against humanity are quite literally right in fucking front of all of us, and nobody wants to do anything about it. The most active fucking people post memes. All you fucking morons need to stop posting memes. Pissing me off. Biden admin worked under the radar to give WHO more power. Liberty Council senior attorney. Mm-hmm. No, that's not. They don't do that. Changes to the United Nations 2005 International Health Regulations have been occurring under the radar. No. Because Americans would object to the unconstitutionality of the changes, according to Jonathan Alexander, a senior counsel for International Litigation Nonprofit Liberty Council. The Biden administration's proposed amendments to the IHR would further strengthen the WHO's authority to declare public health emergencies and override U.S. governing bodies. Yeah, we went through this. We went through this already, but it's a different article. It's a different article. And quote, they've done this undercover because they know at any point, if you were to tell Americans you're ceding the authority to an international body that is unaccountable to the people, if the media were to echo that message, certainly Americans would have no regard for this, Alexander said during a recent interview with NTD News Today. Quote, and we ought not to have any regard for this international body, the WHO, that is not accountable to us. I agree, my friend. I agree. Let's see, what's your name? I like you already, Jonathan Alexander. Let's see here. The Biden administration proposed 13 amendments to the IHR that, if approved, would alter international public health rules, including expanding the powers given to the WHO Director General to declare a public health emergency, bypassing U.S. governmental bodies. Lois Pace, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Assistant Secretary for Global Affairs, defended the amendments in January during remarks given virtually. Yeah, imagine that. To the 150th session of the executive board at the WHO in Geneva about pandemic preparedness. Quote, the United States led an inclusive and transparent process to develop this decision, as we are mindful that updating and modernizing the IHR are critical to ensuring the world is better prepared for and can respond to the next pandemic, Pace said. HHS officials didn't respond by press time to request by the Epoch Times for further comment. Alexander said the 13 amendments submitted by the administration are shameful and dangerous. Quote, the shameful part is that it's coming from our president. The fact that Joe Biden has proposed these 13 amendments, the danger in it, that it's ceding control over to this government entity that is not the United States. And the unconstitutional part is that they don't abide by any of our Bill of Rights, any of the freedoms that we've committed to ourselves, he said. The WHO is an unelected body that is determined for whatever cause is necessary to basically put the world on a chokehold, have it follow its dictates depending on what threat or pandemic it deems at the moment to be necessary in order to lock down the entire world. The Biden administration, in past statements, has denied that the IHR amendments would weaken U.S. sovereignty. While Biden administration officials say they support a separate document, which some are calling a pandemic treaty, they are also advocating for amendments to the IHR as a faster way of overcoming the weakness in global health security. Immediate steps could be taken by changing the IHR to improve certain areas, quote, particularly around early warning systems, coordinating the response and information sharing. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken and Secretary of Health and Human Services Xavier Becerra wrote in an opinion piece published in the Journal of American Medical Association. Alexander said these amendments give the WHO, and specifically its Director General, the power to bypass any governmental authority within the United States. Any accountability that these people have to elected individuals, and any authority that is ceded from the Constitution. Yeah, we can't have that shit. If at any fucking point you thought that was a good idea, that's not. That's not, that's just, I mean, I covered most of that. It's just a different perspective on it. I covered most of that in my international pandemic treaty podcast, because I report on whatever the fuck I want to report on. And a lot of it's COVID. A lot of it's not, but it's whatever the fuck I want it to be. How about that? See, one thing that my listeners have to understand is that I live in a constant state of fuck everything, especially with when I'm on a microphone. I'm at like the height of my fuck everything, right? So if I sound angry and irritated, I'm not really as angry or irritated as it may appear, right? I'm just passionate and hot temperature wise. I'm very sweaty right now. It's hot in this motherfucker. So there's all that. So if you think that like I'm just getting up here and like actually losing my shit, I'm not. I'm just, well, maybe a little bit, but that's neither here nor there. I think maybe you guys like that a little bit. It's like, he's emotionally decent. He's all right. At like an hour and 20 on a solo podcast, man is losing his fucking mind. He's stoned out of his fucking gourd. Can't talk. You know, I'm just fucking around. You know, we're just out here having a good time. What the fuck else are you trying to do besides have a good time? Okay, it's Saturday morning. I need you to wake up and have a good fucking time. Even if it's not Saturday morning, if it's Sunday morning, I need you to wake up and have a good fucking time. Because there ain't time for that bullshit. Ain't no time for that other bullshit. Have a great fucking time. You know, if you wake up, you wake up irritated, you come home irritated, whatever, you work a long fucking day, you're fucking irritated and you're really upset. You just, you know what I'm saying? You smoke some fucking weed, you drink some coffee, call it cushion coffee, and you'll be having a good fucking time. Damn, that's some good weed. Right? Let's see, what did the White House say? What they said? What? I don't know. Let's ask him. Hey, Mr. White House, what did you say? Oh, it's up. White House health official makes false claim about COVID-19 vaccines. So it's just this official that's been making false claims. I feel like the vaccine itself is a false claim, but I guess we'll get there. A White House official made a false claim on June 20th about COVID-19 vaccines while encouraging parents to get their young children vaccinated. Dr. Ashish Jha, the White House's COVID-19 response coordinator, said that there have not been any serious side effects of these vaccines. Yeah, I think that was a bad move there, buddy boy, to say something like that. I don't know. He said, what did he say? He said, there have not been any serious side effects of these vaccines. Like, can we get that on video? I want to see this. But no such link or nothing like that. So, unfortunately, there's none of that. However, moving on, contrary to Jha's claim, severe allergic reactions, blood clotting, heart inflammation, and paralysis, that's right, are among the serious side effects linked to the three COVID-19 vaccines that are available in the United States. Quote, there is a well-documented risk of myocarditis from the COVID vaccine, especially in young men and adolescent boys, and an elevated risk of clotting in young women with the Moderna vaccine, unquote, Dr. J said, a professor of medicine at Stanford University. It's not right for government scientific advisors to downplay documented risks of the vaccines because it ultimately undermines confidence in public health. Yeah. White House officials didn't return a request for comment. Jha, who recently took a post with the Biden administration and is on a break from being dean of the Brown University School of Public Health, was on a media tour on June 20th promoting COVID-19 vaccination for children younger than 5. The FDA authorized the Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines for young children last week, and CDC recommended that virtually every child who's now eligible get one of the vaccines. Yaa said the steps happened because the data on the vaccines were quite compellingly clear, and that the vaccines were both safe and effective, even though major questions have arisen about their safety and efficacy. That's a link. It's really reassuring to know that for young kids, these vaccines are exceedingly safe, Yaa said. Children in Moderna's trial were more likely to suffer a severe adverse event after vaccination than after getting a placebo, while more vaccinated volunteers in Pfizer's trial experienced severe COVID-19 cases when compared to the placebo group. That's a lot of information. Quote, the phrase safe and effective has become meaningless and can no longer be trusted. It has been hijacked by commercial interests. A more accurate phrase would be buyer beware. Damn. Buyer beware. Safe and effective. Buyer beware. Right? Kim Witzak, a drug safety advocate who started a group called Woody Matters, told the Epoch Times in a recent email after reviewing the data from the trials. Yaa also said the vaccines are doing an extraordinary job at keeping kids out of the hospital. Like, can I really feel like that, like, you should be brought to court. Like, you shouldn't be brought up on charges or thrown in jail or whatever, blah, 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 but you should be brought to court. Like, okay, these are the numbers. You said this. This is wrong. Now you have to go back and say, I have been re-educated and allow me to tell you the truth. I don't think that has ever fucking happened. Ever. For example, effectiveness against hospitalization was just 22% after 60 days among 12 to 15 who received Pfizer's vaccine, according to the data from CDC's Vision Network. Who the wonder? CDC's Wonder? CDC's Vision? Wonder Vision, WandaVision. You see where this is going? Other studies indicate higher effectiveness, but it's unclear whether the vaccines are doing an extraordinary job. There's also no clinical evidence that the vaccines will shield against severe COVID-19 cases in young children. Yaa was speaking on CBS and ABC. Hold on, I need to relight this. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Damn. Sometimes joints can be unruly. Pause? Edit? Fuck you. I could. It would take me seconds. I'm not even lazy. I'll take more time out and explain to you why I won't edit than it would take me to edit. I don't give a fuck. That's why. Mm-hmm. That's some good weed. Anyway, all of the experts who advised the government voted in support of the vaccines, but some paid parents should know key details, including how the safety and efficacy data were based on small numbers of children. Quote, I think it's the right decision today to make these vaccines available for this age group, but I also think it's important that people understand it's a small number of children who have received these vaccines, and the safety is not as well established as it is in adolescents and adults, Dr. Cody Meissner, who advises the FDA on vaccines, said during one of the meetings. So it's important to continue to follow the safety profile of these vaccines. I don't think they should be required for any specific situation. There it is. Government's like, fucking force everyone. FDA is like, listen, bro, relax here for a second. 1 second. Let's see. On the other hand, others said that they think parents should get their children vaccinated regardless of the child's health. Regardless of the child's health. Yeah, I don't think so. How many times I was sick as a kid? I used to get upper respiratory infections for lunch. Quote, my personal hope is that every child in the U.S. seeks and gets vaccinated in the near future, said Dr. Michael Nelson, another advisor. Hey, Dr. Nelson. Right. That leads me to my next point is I finally went to the doctor for my skin. Finally. And I saw a Dr. Nelson, funnily enough. But my anxiety had forced me to make appointments, and then I didn't go to these appointments because I have a problem with appointments, I guess. Appointments give me anxiety. The activities don't give me anxiety. The appointments, like, oh, it's 10 o'clock. Ugh. By like 8:30, I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself. I sit there and I fucking lose my mind. But that's not it. That's not entirely the thing. That's part of it. The other part is I don't really trust healthcare professionals. It's just nothing was working on my skin. Absolutely nothing. Not a damn thing. Anything that did work stopped working after a while. So I had to do something. And it got to the point where I was like, fuck it. So I went in all masked, and this stupid fuck comes out, like, all double masked. And he was a nice guy. It was just whatever. He's just double masked. And here's the thing about double masking. If you have an N95 on underneath a surgical mask, I honestly think you're just protecting yourself from the surgical mask. I'm not even lying to you. That's really what I think. That's truth. Every time I see that. Now, if you're wearing two surgical masks, now I just know you're a fucking moron. There it is. But I let him go through his spiel. He tried to sell me on two different vaccines. Tetanus and flu. I love how he called the flu a vaccine. I didn't really like that, but that's what he did. It was never called. I mean, I guess that's what it was. I never heard it called that before COVID. So whatever. It's just we live in a new world, I suppose. And it's just like I don't know if that's anything outside of the normal. I think that's they normally do shit like that anyway. So like, I don't know. It's just like, I was just like, listen, dog, I need to explain something to you. And he was like, what's up? What's going on? And I just laid it on him. I was like, listen, I don't trust healthcare professionals. I don't trust you. I think everyone's just a pill pusher and vaccine pusher. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, it's just, if I didn't have the skin problem, probably wouldn't see a doctor for another 10 fucking years. I don't give a fuck. But I guess it's good now that I'm going to this guy and we can set up a discourse for, you know, conversation, I guess, and open up a dialogue because, you know, he was like, I get nothing out of vaccine. I mean, he sat me down and was like, listen, I get nothing out of it. And I was like, then why push it? I was like, you don't get anything out of it, but your establishment does. I'm not saying that you profit from it. It's the company that you work for. Doctors, in a sense, are like business owners normally, right? If you go to a doctor, whatever's office in the middle of fucking nowhere, he owns that office or is renting it. You know what I'm saying? That's his office. That's his staff. That's his medical equipment, blah, blah, blah. Or you can work for a hospital corporation. Obviously, you don't see any more mom and pop doctors anymore. Well, you do. It's just they're renting, okay, and they're a part of a corporation anyway. On the back end, at some point, somewhere along the way. Which is fine, you know, which is fine. There's nothing wrong against, you know, a developing industry, I suppose. It's just, as long as the intentions stay pure, which they're not, of course. But, you know, like I always say, that you can drive a car into a wall or you can drive it down the street. The choice is yours. But if you know you're not going to die or get in trouble if you drive it into a wall, you probably would, right? I would, for sure. But so, like, I don't know. We had this whole conversation about it, and it was cool, I suppose, and we were chilling, having a good time, and he referred me to a dermatologist. A dermatologist, you know what I'm saying? I went to the dermatologist, and this dude comes in, like, house. He's like, he walks in, he looks at me. He's like, okay. I sent your script in. Rub this cream on you every time you get out of the shower. See you later. Literally 3.5 minutes. This dude was in, looked at me, prescribed me some fucking cream, and bounced. He was like, do you have any questions for me? No? All right. See you the fuck later. And a lot of people probably would have been like, hey, come back. Explain this to me. Talk to me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, listen, in my head, okay, if you walk in, and because this is what I do in pest control, I walk in, I'm like, whatever, shut your mouth. And I do whatever I do, and then it helps, right? Because I know exactly what I'm doing, and I've seen this 10,000 times before. So I saw it in his eyes. He's like, all right, here's your script. See you the fuck later. Like, I was like, you know, if, you know, that's ballsy to really act like that. And especially these days, I'm like, all right, that's fine. I'll trust you at your word. You know, because if you fuck me or make it worse, you're just going to have to face the music when I come back. Right? Because I have a follow-up in 3 weeks. So there's that. But my skin's been getting better with the cream. And that's been helping. So there's my doctor experience. My first one in fucking over a decade. It's genocide. It's genocide. I shouldn't. Family alleges ominous conclusion in seeking answers to their daughter's death. 8 months after his 19-year-old daughter, Grace, died in a hospital after having been given a combination of a sedative and anxiety medication and morphine. Scott Shara and his family continue to bring attention to why they think she died and who's responsible. Their most recent billboard campaign targets St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Appleton, Wisconsin, where his daughter with Down syndrome passed. Hospital staff driving to and from work would have a hard time not seeing the billboards that ask, was Grace given a lethal combination of meds at St. Elizabeth's Hospital? Intentional? Who's next? Others ask, was Grace labeled do not resuscitate without family consent at St. E's? Grace died in October 2021, a month after COVID-19 vaccine mandates had been announced by President Joe Biden. People who didn't want to take the experimental vaccine were being fired, while unvaccinated patients in hospitals were being treated much differently than vaccinated. How fucking horrible is that? Reports from people such as Ann Quinner in Minnesota painted a picture of medical discrimination and unusual hospital protocols that many, like Quinner, alleged led to the death of their loved ones. According to Shara, Grace, who, like the rest of her family, was unvaccinated, was admitted to St. Elizabeth's for COVID-19 respiratory issues on October 6th, but had been given recovering when the doctor began giving a sedative called Presidix. Shara Scara said there were frequent incidents of discrimination regarding Grace's unvaccinated status and their choice to use other early treatment medications that weren't approved by Dr. Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Grace was on Precedex for 4 days preceding her last day, Shara told the Epoch Times, despite severe risks associated with being on the drug for longer than 24 hours. On October 13th, the day Grace died, she was given, in addition to Precedex, lorazepam and morphine within a 29-minute window, Shara said, even though the package insert for morphine warns against using it in combination with the other two drugs because it can result in death. Huh. With an armed guard standing near the doorway of her room at the hospital, Shara said Grace's sister and patient advocate begged nurses she saw in the hallway to revive Grace as their parents watched from FaceTime, joining her in their pleas. There was nothing to be done, a nurse responded, because Grace had been coded as DNR, a label that Scott said must be legally approved and signed off on by the medical power of attorney, who was Grace's mother, Cindy. The family said this never happened. Why would we agree to a DNR when we would not only want the doctors to save our daughter at any cost, but also the morning of Grace's last day, the doctor recommended a feeding tube to start the process of getting Grace home, he asked. The doctor had told the family, Shara said, that Grace had a good day yesterday. We should work on nutrition before recommending a feeding tube. Medical records seen by the Epoch Times show the DNR order was put into the system 8 minutes after a maximum dose of Precedex was administered at 10:48 a.m. on Grace's last day, which Shara calls the smoking gun. She had been on Precedex for 4 days at this point. Then they gave her close to the maximum dose, he said. 8 minutes later, the doctor pulls the illegal DNR on her. According to the death certificate, Grace died of acute respiratory failure with hypoxemia. Sarah said respiratory failure is a direct side effect of using Precedex for more than 24 hours. Quote, of course, COVID-19 pneumonia is listed as a second cause of death in order for the hospital to receive the killing bonus from the government, he said. We are in a spiritual battle. Since then, Sheriff said that he has continued investigating and has found even more negligence. To bring attention to what happened, he's been on over 100 media outlets and has even held a rally with city approval outside of the hospital, he said. Sheriff said the family has committed over $300,000 to the campaigns. $254,000 of that is the billboards they put up through May 2023. Money is temporary, Shara said. I don't want this to happen to anyone else. We are in a spiritual battle, and people must realize that. After telling his story to a wider audience, Robin Riley from Newton, Connecticut, reached out to Shara on Grace's website to share her own experience. Riley's and Shara's stories share many similarities. Riley told the Epoch Times that her daughter with Down syndrome, 37-year-old Megan, was admitted to the hospital for COVID-19 and put on numerous tranquilizers and fentanyl, as well as remdesivir. Megan was also labeled as DNR, which Riley said she had never approved and didn't know she had gotten. She didn't know until she had gotten Megan's medical records. Megan died on December 9th, 2021, Riley said. After discovering the hospital had put Megan on DNR, Riley said it made her grief worse. Quote, because they had her on DNR the whole time, I just kept thinking, did the doctors do everything that they could to save her? She asked. There was no reason to sedate her. For Shara, none of this is a coincidence, he said. For the combination of meds given to Grace, the doctor had to order, a pharmacist had to sign off, the hospital medication alarm had to be overridden, and in Grace's case, a 14-year ICU nurse delivered the lethal combination, Shara said. Quote, we were not provided informed consent about the drugs administered to Grace, nor did we know they were being administered in the first place, unquote, Sheriff said. Quote, there was no reason to sedate her. There was no reason to give her lorazepam as an anti-anxiety while she was knocked out from Presidex. There was no reason to give her morphine. The Nuremberg Code was created to ensure people would have informed consent in regard to any medical procedure and to be able to opt out of such things. St. Elizabeth's ignored providing informed consent, and they ignored all the warnings in the package inserts. Sheriff first thought the hospital protocols leading up to her death were about the hospital getting federal reimbursements. However, now he suspects a motive much worse. Hospitals are taking federal funding to enact COVID protocols that were not only killing the unvaccinated, but the disabled, he said. He cited one 2020 study from the UK Office for National Statistics that show that disabled people had made up about three-fifths of COVID-related deaths in England and Wales. Quote, disabled females between 9 and 64 were even more at risk in comparison with non-disabled females in the same group, with a rate of death almost 11 times higher, he said. He cited a 2021 report from the University of Minnesota's Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy that stated that intellectual disability is second to old age as a risk factor for COVID-19 deaths. In unadjusted analysis compared with 431,000 patients without intellectual disabilities, the 127,000 patients with intellectual disabilities were more susceptible to hospitalization, intensive care admission, and death, he said. He's collected several additional studies and articles that support the theory that the disabled are at higher risk. Combining that with his own experience, he thinks the disabled with COVID-19 are purposely being murdered. He points to an article from NPR that tells the story of Melissa Hickson, who claimed a hospital where her quadriplegic husband was admitted for COVID-19 denied him life-saving treatment because of his disability. The Milgram experiment. All these reports and studies connect for Shara, implying ominous motives funded not only by money but blind obedience, he said, alluding to a set of experiments in the 1960s that tested how far a person would go to follow orders. Quote, in the Milgram experiments, these psychologists tested the willingness of the participants and how far they would go to administer electric shock treatment to their peers under orders from an authority figure, Shara said. The experiments were held at Yale University by Stanley Milgram, 3 months after the start of the trial of German Nazi war criminal Adolf Eichmann. Milgram's intent of the experiments was to study the psychology of genocide, he explained in his reports. Todd Callender, an international lawyer with Disabled Rights Advocates and Legal Counsel to Truth for Health Foundation, previously told the Epoch Times that the, quote, death protocols being enacted in hospitals are passed down hierarchically from the World Health Organization to the Centers for Disease Control and the National Institute of Health, using the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act and Health and Human Services Authorization to release funding for the declared pandemic that sets the protocols in motion. From there, hospitals that are federally funded through the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services using coding tied to NIH and CDC written protocols, if those hospitals take that funding, they must follow those protocols, starting with ICD-10 codes, International Classification of Diseases. According to Callender, the CDC and NIH protocols were based on the WHO's 2005 International Health Regulations, which directs each of its 196 signatory countries to cede all sovereign powers to the WHO in case of a declared health emergency. Quote, the WHO then directs the various states, directs the various state health bodies, in this case, the CDC and NIH, on treatment, Callender said. This is why every country is responding in the same way at the same time globally. It's a backdoor to a one-world dictatorial government, unquote. When these protocols are passed to the hospitals that take funding under the emergency declaration, patients' rights are waived under the CMS COVID waiver program in conjunction with the PrEP and CARES Act, giving participating hospitals legal immunity. Patients admitted for a broken arm can be given a COVID-19 test that will, quote, will almost always come back positive, and then are admitted and put on an IV with a tranquilizer that lowers oxygen levels, which then justifies putting the patient into COVID isolation, where the antiviral drug remdesivir, which Callender called lethal, is added to the bag before being moved into the intensive care unit, where the patient is then being given morphine and fentanyl while being deprived of nutrition, he said. Quote, everybody talks about their fear of FEMA death camps, Callender said. Well, they're already here and they're called hospitals. Each of these procedures brings in high federal reimbursements of up to hundreds of thousands of dollars, Callender said. Tom Renz, an attorney of America's Frontline Doctors and Make America's Free Americans Free Again, organizations that oppose unconstitutional federal health mandates, hosts his own show on Brighton TV, where he interviews Shara. He told the Epoch Times that because the PrEP and CARES Act have been passed, it's made it impossible to sue hospitals because they convey immunity to these hospitals. Quote, through these acts, we've given hospitals as much immunity as we've given vaccine makers as long as the state of emergency is continuing, unquote, he said. And we've got to ask ourselves, why is there still a national emergency? In addition to immunity, hospitals get federal funding through the CARES Act, which gives a 20% increase in reimbursement to hospitals for inpatient stays resulting from COVID-19, Renz said. The laws are structured in a way that incentivizes hospitals to kill people, Renz said. The hospital makes more money if you die from COVID-19 than if you recover from it. Why don't we incentivize hospitals for getting people cured of COVID? Renz supports Shara's conclusion that the hospitals killed Grace, he said. Can you imagine watching your daughter die on FaceTime, begging the hospital to revive her, and they say, no, we are not going to do that, claiming that they have a DNR that you didn't agree to, he asked. I mean, can you imagine the horror? No person should have to go through that, and we've got to have accountability. Like Shara's response from the hospital, Riley said the hospital contended that the family agreed to the DNR. In a December 15th letter to the Sheriff family, the hospital said that multiple and in-depth discussions and explanations occurred with you and your wife and family in regards to resuscitation and intubation. The medical record documentation on October 13th, 2021, reflects additional discussion and confirmation of the family's decisions related to resuscitation and intubation intervention should Grace's condition deteriorate. What a bunch of crap, Shara said, reemphasizing that his family never agreed to a DNR. Quote, the doctors only discussed the concept of DNR, Shara said. Why would we agree to a DNR when he just got done telling us that Grace had such a good day yesterday and we should work on nutrition? St. Elizabeth's Hospital did not respond to the Epoch Times request for comment. There's a pattern, Shara said, that he hasn't been able to ignore. Quote, if I would have listened to me saying these words now 7 months ago, I would have thought at best he's become a conspiracy theorist, at worst a whack job, he said. However, too many incidences of negligence have lined up to be a coincidence. Does this not sound familiar? If any of you fucking morons have listened to me, does that not sound like the entire situation with my grandmother? Yeah. That's why. Quote, at first I thought this was about money, but it's clear to me now that money was used to simply grease the wheels to accomplish a bigger agenda, in which my opinion is genocide. I mean, I don't know. That's a little rough, I guess. But I see where he's coming from. I don't give a fuck. Man makes it. He's got a point. You know what I'm saying? He's got a point. He makes some valid points. to say it's about genocide without giving any context, that's what makes you sound a little wacky, is it's genocide with no context. I mean, you said it's because it's of a bigger agenda. What's that agenda? I mean, to strip the rights of everyone, to remove medical freedom, to remove medical privacy, things like that. I mean, speak your fucking mind. Genocide to take the pressure off the Social Security system, to take the pressure off of disability, to give more money into rich people's hands. Like, say something. Just like, oh, they're killing people. We know they're killing people. It's fucking obvious. What are we going to do about it is the question. We got to prove it. Well, how do you prove it? That's a good question. You need a team of people. And they need to be reviewing medical records from all over the country, looking for similarities, questioning people, bringing people in, and talking to them under things like the law. You know, like, you have to tell the truth. If you don't, you know, you're going to go to jail, or you're going to have to pay out a lot of money. Probably pay out a lot of money is probably what you, but then shouldn't even make that an option. Just be like, listen, you took these many lives, you know, all of these people died under your care. So now you have to answer for it. Every single one of them. You know, you can throw away the obvious ones, obviously, right? But you just fucking good old investigative journalism, hard work. I don't know, like, he's going on talk shows and podcasts and doing all, like, Tim. Like, okay, we know. Now that a bunch of people know, what's happening? What are we doing about it? We can't question the oligarchs. We can't question them. Fucking start pulling people out of their house, pulling doctors out of their house and arresting them. Imagine how that would look. Oh, man. This is the end of the podcast, and it's the end of the joint. It's fucking... This was a good one. Nice return. And trying to get some guests. I know I have a number of guests ready and willing, because y'all are the best. But yeah. No worries. We're just out here getting it, my friend. We're out here getting it. I'm going to shut the fuck up and smoke this weed. But it's all about self-awareness. You have to know yourself to know what's happening. You have to know what the information that you're digesting. See, unfortunately, you don't have to consciously develop. You don't have to do any of that, like, introspective work in order to be a successful human being on planet Earth today. You don't need to do any of that. And because of that, you have a large number of successful, wealthy people with brand new consciousness, you know, they haven't developed, they haven't introspected, they haven't taken inventory, they haven't done anything like that. They haven't hit any adversity. They haven't falling on their ass. You know, they're just fucking, you know, you have a large money and you don't even need to be wealthy in order to live under that pretense anymore. You can be dirt fucking poor and still live under that pretense now. Yeah, now. It used to not be like that. That's why poor people had, like, you know, concerns and problems. Now, as long as they're happy, we're happy, right?
Right.
Shit needs to change, and it's not gonna. You know, they're doing this whole COVID's coming back. How does COVID come back in the middle of fucking summer? COVID's a seasonal disease, a seasonal virus. So it comes every other season. Oh, the fuck, man. It's just, we got to do something, and we got to do it now. Or it's probably already too late. I mean, it doesn't matter anymore. As long as I can come up here and bitch to the 25,000 people that I bitch to. Uh-huh. That's how big my audience is. That's how big my dick is, too. I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. I loved it. Stay lifted, my friends. Cushion coffee.